My name is Reed. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm so glad that you're with us. If this is your first time, then you're jumping in at a great time. We are, today we're going to be covering another installment in this ongoing series that we call Things Christians Do and Why. And the reason why we call it an installment is just from time to time throughout the year, we'll come back to this when we have a week or a couple weeks in between some longer series of teachings. We'll come and we'll talk about some of the things that Christians do and why we do it. And the reason why we do this series is because some of the things that Christians do are weird, right? Like there are some things that maybe don't always make sense. Maybe they seem uncomfortable or outdated. They seem counterintuitive or counterproductive. I remember one time I was new to faith, and I was in this church, and it was up in Athens, Georgia. And I'm there, and I'm exploring and trying to figure things out. And they had the music part, and I'm kind of standing in the back, and I'm watching, and people are really getting into it. There's this group of girls down front, eyes closed. Yes. You know, like, and then there's this guy down front, and he's not wearing shoes. And so, I know, that tells you everything you need to know. You're like, yep, I know. Oh, so, and so he's got this thing going on, and he's really getting into it. And so he's going, and they're standing. And at some point I'm watching, and I'm like, this is a train wreck waiting to happen. And the girls with their arms up, this guy, bam, gets her right in the throat, you know? And so she's, you know, and he does a hop step, guys, and acts like nothing happened. And I said, these people are weird. But I came back the next week. And so, because I had to see what would happen with the karate chopping worshiper, you know? So there's some things, you know, that can be uncomfortable, some things that you look at and you're like, I don't know, like, what's the deal with that? And that's what we're talking about in this series. What are some of those things? And for some of us, as we talk about this, you know, you're Christians and you go through and you do the things that we've been talking about. And for some of you, you've been doing it for so long, you've never paused to ask why. And so it's become a routine and you check the box, but you're not experiencing the power of it. And then there are others of us, and you're here and you're new, you're exploring, you're seeking. Maybe you just came because somebody invited you and told you they'd take you to lunch afterwards or whatever, and you're here and you've wondered about some of these things as well. Things like, why do Christians sing every time they get together? What's the deal with the karaoke? You know what I mean? And so maybe you've asked that, or we've talked about communion. Hey, what's the deal with that? And do I have to drink after them? You know what I mean? Like, and so maybe you've asked about that, or baptism, you know, what's the deal with that? Why do we have to, you know, put one person underwater so then they can be on the team? Like, what's going on with baptism? And we've talked about, and then last week we talked about prayer. Hey, what's the deal with prayer? How does that work? Does that work? And what does it look like for me to participate in prayer? And so if you're interested in any of those topics, and you want to know more, we've talked about all of those. They're on the website and they're on our YouTube channel. And you can go listen to any of those if you're interested in any of those subjects. And we'll continue to pick up these throughout the year. We'll come to this and cover other different topics as well. Today, we're going to cover another Christian practice. Today, we're going to cover the topic of confession. It's the sermon no one woke up today wanting to hear. We're going to talk about it. So when I was in the eighth grade, you guys, there was a fashion trend, and everybody was into it. It was all the rage. Everybody needed Timberland boots. Do you guys remember the Timbs? At Snellville Middle School, anybody who was anybody had to have Timbs. And of course, you couldn't lace them up. You just had to just flop around in these things. You know what I mean? Like, that was what was cool. And so Timbs, I remember I'm in the eighth grade, and I'm telling my mom, Mom, I've got to have these Timberland boots. And she didn't get it. She went and got me, you know, the off-brand. She got me like Wolverine, like, you know, like the steel toe boots. And I was like, these are not Timbs. I'm not joining a construction crew. I was like, I'm trying to be in a rap video. I'm like, what's going on? And so I'm like, give me these Timbs. And so I beg and I plead and I tell her, you know, why I need these Timbs so bad, and I offer to help pay and all that kind of stuff. And so Eventually we get the Timberland boots and I've got them and now I'm fashionable and I fit in and it feels great, right? So I got the Timberland boots and one day, after having these boots, and if you've ever had them, you know, they're like bricks. They weigh a lot. So these are serious boots. And so I got these boots and one day after school, I'm downstairs. I get home. I take my boots off and we're downstairs. Me and my brother were hanging out and we get into an argument. And the argument gets a little heated, and what started off as like name calling and stuff like that turns to some pushing, little fisticuffs, and so now like it's getting like uh-oh, like it's a fight, and I'm 2 years older than my brother, so at the time I was bigger. Now I'm just thicker, and so he's tall and skinny, and he's an artist, and so. So we get into this fight, and my brother realizes this is not going to go well for me. And so he begins to run away, and so I grab, you guys, my Timberland boot. I grab one of these Tims, and have you ever had a moment where it feels like everything slows down? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like that moment, maybe it was something that you said in an argument, and as you said it, you're like, you know, like this was that moment. I mean, I throw this boot, and it's just like, and I'm thinking, no, you know, like, is that, like, I mean, this is, I knew, because he's moving, and I missed by a long shot, you know, and this Timberland boot goes flying, and it hits the wall, and had this been a normal shoe, had this been just a tennis shoe, had this just been, you know, Nike running shoes, it would have just bounced right off, right? No problem. But not this Tim. You know, it went into the wall. And it stuck. There's this hole. And my brother and I, you do the moment where you're like, and you freeze and you're listening. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. You're like, did mom hear this happen? And we're frozen. All right, we don't hear any movement. There's no yell. There's a, boys, what was that? You know, we're like, okay. And now we got to hide this. We have to scramble. We'd both been in trouble a few times recently for arguing. And my mom had made it very clear that, hey, the next time you guys go at it, doesn't matter who started it, doesn't matter whose fault it was, there's going to be consequences. And so my brother and I are like, we have got to cover this up. And we especially got to cover it up before dad gets home, you know, because mom will yell and dad will do something else. You know what I mean? Like, and so we're like, okay, like we got to cover this up. And so we're thinking, how do we cover it up? Now it's about this high and my drywall skills were at an all time low and they're still not great. And so, I was like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How do we fix this? And so I ran upstairs to my room and I grabbed a poster that I had bought from the book fair. And you know, I got this poster in my room and it is a Michael Jordan poster. And so I grabbed this Michael Jordan poster and I'm like, this will be great. And I put it on the wall at knee height. And my brother and I are looking at this and we're like, you think that they'll notice? And he's like, I think they're going to notice, you know, like who puts a poster at knee height? And I was like, short people, I don't know. Like, so I'm like, you're right. Like, what else are we going to do? Like, we can't just do the poster. We gotta do something else. We gotta cover this. And so went out into the garage and my dad had like a little area where, he had some like weights and my dad is like one of those, like sporadic workouters, you know what I mean? Like, and by sporadic, I mean, just like if he just really felt bad, like on a random day, cause he like ate a lot, he'd come down and be like, you know, it'll fix this 25 curls. You know what I mean? Like, and so he just randomly sometimes would like work out, but not all the time. He's not like a worker outer, you know what I mean? So I went out there, and out there where the weights and stuff were was a box fan for the, you know, four times a year that he would work out. There's this box fan. And so I grabbed the box fan and I put the box fan in front of Michael Jordan. And I think, that's it. Layers, right? Layers really did it. And so my brother and I look at it and we're like, maybe this will work. I mean, as long as mom doesn't go on like a cleaning spree and like move the fan to see Michael, and then, you know, I think we're good. And as long as dad doesn't come down anytime in the future and decide he's going to work out and move the fan back. Like, we're good. So I'm like, all right, ready, break. And now, you know, day goes by, couple days go by. And you know when you've got a secret and it involves another person, and whenever that person like says anything to you, you're like, they know. You know what I mean? Like, it's that. And so, you know, anytime my mom would be like, hey, Reed, I'd be like, what? No, you know, like, and so you're like acting weird around the person and it's like creating distance. And like, you know, she's like, how was your day? And you're like, fine. And you just like run upstairs. Like, it's like that. Like, I'm like avoiding my mom and my brother's doing the same thing. And we're like acting, you know, kind of funny because we're thinking like, if she talks to me too long, I'm just going to say it. Well, there's a hole in the wall. It's right behind Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? Like, and so we're like, oh, like, and so you don't want to like out yourself. And so you're kind of creating distance. That's what we're doing. And so we're not talking to my mom. And a couple days go by. Now it's been a week. Week goes by and we're like, they still haven't found it. Did we get away with it? A few more days, a few more weeks. And at this point, you guys, it's like every time anybody walks downstairs, we're like, and you're kind of freaking out. Like all the time, you're kind of living on edge. That's how it was for me. A couple weeks go by and eventually it's the day, you guys know. They found it, right? They found it because nothing stays hidden forever, does it? It doesn't stay hidden forever. And so dad went downstairs. I don't know. Maybe he was going to work out. Maybe he was just like, oh, box fan. Who's behind that box fan? Is that Michael Jordan? You know what I mean? Like, and then he moves and he sees the hole. And you can tell from the tone, he wasn't just excited to see us. And so we came downstairs and sure enough, you know, they'd found this hole in the wall, and you guys, there was consequences. Of course there's consequences. There's always consequences for our actions, right? And when you've been found out, there's consequences. So there's consequences, and we were in trouble. And of course, you know, your parents give you the spiel. Why didn't you tell me earlier? You made it worse by keeping it hidden. And so we had the consequences, and we had the all that kind of stuff. And honestly, though, afterwards, even though there were consequences, you guys, I experienced like so much relief. Like it was like physical. Like, have you ever had that where it's like all of a sudden, like even though it was like found out or even though it was exposed, that thing that you were scared of, like now all of a sudden I felt like, and it was like I could breathe. And I can remember eighth grade thinking to myself, and this was not spiritual at all. I can remember thinking to myself, I should have said something sooner. You know, I've been walking around like for 2 weeks, like I was holding my breath. I've been walking around for 2 weeks avoiding my mom. I've been walking around for 2 weeks with this like weight. I should have just said something sooner. I wonder, what do you do with the holes in your wall? What do you do with the holes in your wall? And I'm not talking about the physical hole. I'm talking about the stuff in your life you hope no one finds out about. What do you do with that stuff? The stuff that you try to keep hidden, the stuff that you fear if anybody knew, it would ruin things. What do you do with that stuff? What do you do with the stuff that you know you shouldn't have done it, and you just hope enough time can go by that nobody will notice and they'll just forget about it? What do you do with the stuff in your life that you're doing right now that you're not proud of, but you feel stuck and you can't get out of it? What do you do with that stuff? What do you do with those thoughts, those feelings, those actions that you're not proud of? And you just hope nobody knows. What do you do with that stuff? I'll tell you what most of us do. What most of us do with that stuff is we conceal it, don't we? We do what I did with a Michael Jordan poster and a box fan. When it comes to these things in our lives that we're not proud of, the things that we know we shouldn't be doing, the secrets, the struggles, if I may be so bold, I mean, we're in church, the sins in our life? Is this what they are? What do you do with that stuff? We conceal it. We try to put a poster over it and a box fan and hope nobody notices, and we stuff it and we hide it and we try to sweep it under the rug and we make excuses for it, or maybe we justify it, or we just try to ignore it long enough, hope it goes unnoticed. Anything to keep from addressing it, right? We conceal it. And I get it. There's no judgment today on this. I understand why we do it. We conceal it because, well, because it's scary, right? It's terrifying. As a matter of fact, there are some of you today and you're like, why are you talking about this? Like, stop, you know, like quit prying, preacher. Stay in your lane. Say something encouraging and nice and then hit it in about 22 minutes and get me out of here so I can go to lunch. You know what I mean? Like, why are we having to talk about this? Like, there are some of you right now and you're nervous, like, just because we've even talked about it. And you're wondering, like, who knows? Did somebody tell him? They didn't. But we need to talk about it. So I get it. It's scary, right? You think to yourself, you're like, well, like if this came out, if this got addressed, if this were revealed, if this were found out, it would cost me. It's going to cost me my reputation. It's going to cost me in the area of trust with somebody. It might cost me at work. It might cost me at home. It might cost me in that relationship. It might cost me in my friendship. It might cost me the friendship. It might cost me the relationship. I mean, read, what is this going to do to my marriage if this comes out? How is this going to affect my relationship with my kids? How is this going to impact things at Thanksgiving? Right? So we think about it and we're like, it's too costly to address. And so we hide and we conceal, and we hide it away because, right, the cost of talking about it keeps us hidden. I get it. I get that. It makes sense. There is a cost. There is a cost to addressing your mess. There is a cost to looking at the hole in the wall. There is a cost to coming clean. There's a cost. There will be consequences. Oftentimes, our actions do have consequences. So I recognize there is a cost. But did you know that there's a cost to concealment as well? There's a cost to concealment as well. And might I propose to you that the cost of concealment is actually greater than the cost of coming clean? The cost of concealment, one, it's isolation. Because when you've got a secret, when you've got something that you're struggling with that you don't want anybody else to know, when you've got secret sin, when you've got that hole in the wall that you're trying to keep covered up, right? Like it leads you to isolate. You withdraw from other people because you have to keep everybody at arm's length. Because if they get too close, they might find out, right? And so you isolate and you withdraw. And people that you were used to be really, really close to, you now have distance from. And they're people that matter to you. But you're isolating and you're withdrawing and you're pulling away and you're pretending and you're faking and you're only going about that deep in all of your relationships. And so it's isolating. That's part of the cost. Another part of the cost, right, of concealment, right, not just isolation, but it's also that the problem just gets bigger. The problem gets bigger. You know, the more you keep things hidden, the more they grow. And nothing good grows in the dark. You guys know that? You know what grows in the dark? Mold, right? Mold and mushrooms and fungus, right? Gross things grow in the dark. And the same is true with our sin and our secrets and our struggles. And when we hide them, right, they just get bigger. And they get worse. And so the thought that remains unaddressed, that stays hidden, turns into an action. And the action that stays hidden and unaddressed turns into a habit. And the habit that stays hidden and unaddressed becomes a lifestyle. And the lifestyle of the person who remains hidden and unaddressed becomes a shell of a person, a fake person. And the impact hurts more than just you. And the longer you hold that secret, what would have been hard to address when you were single gets more complicated when you get married. And what was hard to address when you first got married gets even more complicated when you add kids. And then it gets even harder and harder and harder the longer it goes, and the ripple effect goes further and further and affects more people. So the cost, we get isolated, the problem, it gets bigger and it just grows, and then ultimately it's just exhausting, right? Keeping things hidden is hard work, isn't it? It's exhausting. It just weighs you down. As a matter of fact, listen to how David talked about it when he was talking about concealing his sins. He says this. He said, when I kept silent, kept it hidden, kept it in the dark, wouldn't address it. He said, my bones wasted away. And through my groaning all day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy on me. And my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. David says, when I was keeping things hidden and I was staying silent and I wouldn't address the mess, when I was holding on to that stuff, he's like, it was crushing me. It was eating me up from the inside. He's like, it's like my bones were wasting away. And he's like, and it was heavy on me. The guilt, the shame, it was like weighing on me. Keeping things hidden is hard work. It's exhausting. And so there's a cost to coming clean, but there's a cost to concealment as well. And the cost to concealment is the cost of our relationships. It's the cost of our integrity. It's the cost of our authenticity. It ultimately leads us to isolation. It only grows and gets bigger. And ultimately, it becomes too much for us to bear. And it always eventually gets found out. So, what do you do with the holes in the wall? There's a better way than just concealing it. There's a healthier way, a freer way, a fuller way. There's a better way to deal with this, you guys. Now you'll notice I say better, not easier. There is a better way for dealing with our sins and our secrets and our struggles. And that's what this practice of confession is really all about. I want to show you what it is that John says about what we ought to do with the holes in the wall, right? This is what John says. John was one of the best friends of Jesus. And when he started following Jesus, he's believed to be one of the youngest of the early followers. So probably 15 to 18 years old when he began following Jesus. He spent time with Jesus. He learned from Jesus. And then later in his adult life, after Jesus's death and resurrection, John would go and help start churches and tell people about the good news that he heard about Jesus. And in 1 John, it's one of his letters that he wrote to some other believers. In 1 John, he writes to some people that are just trying to figure out faith. And 1 John is a great letter if you're interested. It's a great letter to read for anyone that's just trying to like get the basics of faith. And that's what he covers. And in this is what he says about the things, the messes that we hide, our sins, our struggles, our secrets, what to do with them. This is what he says. He says, this is the message we have heard from him being Jesus, and declare to you. He says, God is light. And in him, there's no darkness at all. No secrets. Nothing's hidden. When it comes to that stuff that you think you're hoping nobody knows, God knows. And in him, there's light. There's no secrets. Nothing's hidden. He said, there's no darkness at all. And then he says, but if we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in the darkness, we lie. And we do not live out the truth. John says, look, you can't claim to walk with Jesus and keep your secrets. It doesn't work like that. You can't walk in the light and keep your secrets and your sins and your struggles. He's like, it doesn't work like that. He keeps going. He says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, he says, we have fellowship with one another. We can reconnect with people. We can actually have relationship. We don't isolate, right? And he says, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So he says, life's better in the light. He says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we, there's that word, confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just. And he'll forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So John's writing and he's like, hey, when it comes to your secrets and your struggles and your sins, when it comes to that stuff that you're tempted to hide, he's like, here, first thing that you need to know is we've all got them. We've all got that stuff. To varying degrees, like in our lives, like we've all got like some stuff. We've all got some holes in the wall, right? Like, and so John goes like if you say that you don't, he's like, you're a liar. And then there's your hole, right? Like he's like, we've all got stuff. And it's not always like the stuff that like makes the big list, right? Like when he says this, he's not just talking about like a gambling addiction or like substance abuse issues or like some kind of like addiction to pornography or some affair with somebody at the office. He's not just talking about that stuff. Although for some of you, if we're just being honest this morning, that might be you. And there's no judgment or condemnation as you're going to see here in a moment. And I hope that you'll be able to deal with that. And we'll learn how to deal with that. But he's not just talking about that stuff, right? When he says like, hey, Like we've all got some stuff. For some of us, it's not that. For some of us, it's literally, it is some secret self-righteousness or some prejudice that is in us that when we look at somebody or when we deal with somebody, that there is a sense of superiority to that person or that group of people. And so we look down on them. And it's just right here in our head and it's just right here in our heart. And we would never say it out loud because it's 2024 and we would get canceled. But we feel it and we think it. And every now and then it bubbles up and you hear it in a conversation or in an interaction or in a side comment that you said that you didn't think anybody else was listening to. And that self-righteousness, that prejudice, that comes out. That's what it is for some of us. For some of us, it's jealousy, right? And we look at that person or this group of people and we look at them and we go like I wish I could be them, or I can't believe I'm not them, or that should be me. Like they shouldn't be having that opportunity. They shouldn't be getting that opportunity. That should be my opportunity. That was my promotion, right? Like that should be my family. That should be my marriage. That should be my house. That should be my car. And you look at them and you're nice to their face. You're like, when you see them, you're like, oh my God, like I'm so happy for you. You know what I mean? But inside you're like, right? And when you're not around them and you're with some other people and you don't think it'll get back to them, you gossip about them. And secretly inside, you kind of like hope for their demise. Or you at least celebrate when things don't work out for them. So for some of us, it's that ugly, like jealousy. For some of us, it's old shame. That's what we're hiding. That's what's behind the box fan. It's old shame over something you did years and years and years ago. And it's just been unaddressed and you've just never talked about it. And so you've since walked away and you don't do those things anymore. And you show up and you try to be a good person. But all of your good activity is just to try to somehow make amends for that thing that you've never really dealt with or addressed. And so it's like you're really working penance. For some of you, that's what it is. Look, we've all got, John says, you've all got junk, secrets, sins, struggles, stuff that we hope nobody sees or addresses. We've all got it. John says, if you say you don't, you're only playing yourself. You're only lying to yourself. He says, look, rather than trying to hide it, cover it up, sweep it under the rug, put a poster in front of it, rather than trying to press it down, ignore it or justify it, right? Or make excuses for it. He's like, rather than keeping it hidden, he says, there's a better way. There's a more authentic way. There's a freer way. There's a fuller way to live. He says, rather than doing all that stuff, rather than concealing it, he says, this is what we're invited to do. Confess. He says, when it comes to that stuff in your life, that stuff that you're not proud of, the stuff that you worry someone will find out about, he's like, what if instead of trying to hide it and suppress it and bury it and keep it in the dark, he's like, what if we take God up on the invitation and we confess? He says, what if you just admit it? What if you just brought it into the light? What if you just brought it to God? He's like, that's the invitation. Just bring it to him. God, I did this. I'm thinking this. I'm worried about this. I've got this thing going on and I said it and whatever. You bring those things to God. Just bring it in to the light. And on the other side of it, the good news that John wants you to know is that what we experience when we do that, when we confess it, is that on the other side of it, we experience forgiveness. You experience forgiveness. He says, God's faithful and just, and he'll forgive us, and he'll purify us, and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he says, if you're willing to address that mess on the other side, what you're not going to get from God, you're not going to get guilt, you're not going to get condemnation, you're not going to get shame, he's not going to point the finger, he's not going to cross his arms in disappointment, he's not going to hit you with a bolt of lightning. Contrary to popular belief from some people that I've even tried to invite to church, you won't burst into flames when you walk in. Like, that's not his posture. You know what he says? He says he's faithful and just, and he'll forgive you. And that's what you're going to get on the other side of confession. What he's not saying that confession earns you forgiveness. Jesus, this is the good news of the gospel. Jesus paid for your forgiveness fully and finally on the cross, right? By his life, by his death on the cross, and by his resurrection, he has paid for your forgiveness, past, present, and future. He's paid for it. And by God's grace, through faith in Jesus, you're fully forgiven. And so confession isn't necessarily, right? Like, it's not earning your forgiveness in any way. But there are many of us, and you walk around and you have put your faith in Jesus, and so you are forgiven, but you don't actually experience it. And the reason why is because you haven't put it into practice yet. This is the difference. What he's talking about is the difference between somebody buying you a Peloton and you getting on the Peloton. Yeah? God has given you the gift. He bought you the Peloton. But if you're going to experience the benefits of it, you got to get your butt on the bike. That's what this is talking about. He's like, you've been forgiven, but when you confess and you bring your sins into the light, you experience forgiveness. You experience the freedom of it. You experience the lightening of the load. You experience the grace. You experience the wholeness. You experience that life is really better in the light. And so he says, bring it to him that you might experience forgiveness and freedom. He's like, confess, bring your stuff to God. And that's part one. And like, part one, no, that's where I'm done, right? There's a second part to this, because confession isn't just vertical. It's also, there's a horizontal aspect of bringing it to other people and sharing it with others. There are some of us, and we have time and time again, we've talked to God about the thing that's going on, but we continue to struggle. And the reason why we continue to struggle is because we've not fully exposed it to the light of bringing it to somebody else, a safe and trusted person, right? Which is why James will say that confession is really a two-part process. It's not just confessing to God, but James will say this: therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. James says it's good for you to bring your sins and your struggles and your secrets to God. That's great. That's a great first step. Get honest with God, bring it into the light, talk about it. He says, but there's a second part to it. If you really want to bring it to the light, if you really want to move forward, he's like, part two is you bring it to somebody else, a safe and trusted person. And now what James is not talking about here, he's not talking about the kind of more formal practice. If you've grown up Catholic, I grew up Catholic. And so in the Catholic Church, there's the practice of confession where you go into a booth and you talk to a priest. and you share some things, and then the priest gives you some Our Fathers and Hail Marys, and then your like balance sheet is like even again, right? So that's kind of how like that's how that works. That's not what James is talking about. He's not necessarily talking about this formal practice of talking to a priest to have sins absolved. What he's talking about is not necessarily that. Now, I'll say this. There's nothing wrong with talking to a priest if you want to talk to a priest. If that's your safe and trusted person, go for it. Just do so knowing that you don't need a mediator between you and God. You have one. His name is Jesus. Jesus is the only high priest that we need, the only mediator. And so there is not a single person out there, no pastor or priest, that has more holiness or access to God than you do through Jesus. So if you want to talk to a priest, amazing. Do it because you want to, not because you feel like you have to. Okay? So that's not what James is talking about, though. He's not talking about like confessing to each other so that another person can absolve your sins. He's just talking about the power of talking to somebody else and sharing the load and actually bringing it into the light with another person. He's talking about the power of having a safe and trusted person to share those things with. And he says that there's just really great power in bringing that together with another person. And he's not saying that everybody needs to know everything, so you don't got to tell everybody everything. I don't think that would be helpful or healthy, right? But what he is saying is that someone needs to know it all. There's got to be somebody in your life with whom all the lights in your house are on. There's got to be somebody in your life who knows your sins and your struggles and your secrets and your temptations. It's like you got to have somebody like that. And if you don't have somebody like that, he would say you're in danger. And you're not just in danger of being found out, you guys. You're in danger of missing out. Because he says that when we do that, when we confess our sins to each other and we pray for each other, he says on the other side of that is healing. He says when you actually bring this stuff up, he's like, you experience healing on the other side of honest confession. That's what we stand to gain, and that's what you will miss out on if you just keep it between you and God, or if, God forbid, if you just keep it to yourself. But he says if you bring it to somebody else, he's like, then there can be real healing. You'll never be healed from what you keep concealed, right? You'll never be healed from the stuff you keep concealed. And so he goes, bring it to someone else as well, and share it with a safe and trusted person. And as you talk about that, then healing can begin. And you can get help, and you can get accountability, and you can make amends, and you can ask for forgiveness, and there can be reconciliation, and you can move forward. He's like, that's where healing happens, when you bring it into the light. When you move the box fan, when you take the poster down, and you go, this is what I'm dealing with, right? So James says, hey, it's great, start with God, and then bring it to someone else. And I'm just going ahead and tell you guys, like, I'm so glad that I've got some guys like this in my life who I can talk about these things with. I'm so glad that I've got a few friends who all the lights are on. I'm so glad that I've got some people who I can bring anything, no matter how ugly or embarrassing or painful, I can bring it to them and know that there's not going to be any judgment or condemnation. There will be accountability. There will be prayer. There will be help. But there's not going to be any judgment or condemnation. I'm so grateful I've got those guys, and they have full access to me, just so you guys know. I got a few people and they got full access. And if they want to see my browser history, they can see my browser history. And if they want to read my text messages, they can read my text messages. And if they think I'm giving them a half truth, then I've given them permission. They can pick up the phone and call my wife. You got to have some people like that. Some people that you can confess to and bring your stuff to. You guys, your Heavenly Father does not want you to walk around isolated with things in the dark that are growing and impacting your relationships and hurting yourself and others. He doesn't want you walking around with weights on your shoulders, held back and burdened by your sins and your secrets and your struggles. He wants you to experience real forgiveness and real healing. He wants you to experience a life that is full, that is free, that is authentic, that is real, that is honest. He wants you to experience life in the light, because he knows that life is better in the light. And this is the power of the practice of confession. So my encouragement to us is that we would take him up on the invitation. you don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to live in the dark. You don't have to live in shame. You don't have to live in guilt. All the stuff that you are embarrassed or ashamed or afraid to bring about, Jesus already died to forgive. And so you don't have to live that way anymore. You can live free. You can live full. You can experience forgiveness. You can be healed. You can get help. You can move forward. You can experience the life that God has for you. And it starts with confession. Bring it to Him. Bring it into the light. Experience forgiveness. Bring it to others and experience the prayers and the healing that comes from that. And we can walk together in it. Today, we're going to close, and I figured it would be a waste if we didn't take some time to actually put this into practice. And so I'm not going to pass a microphone, right? Like this, like, yeah, just to, yeah, some of you, thank God, right? I'm not going to pass a microphone or anything like that, but I would love for us, we're going to sing one more song. The band's going to come out and they're going to sing. And I would love to just give you the space for the first time or for the first time in a long time, just for you to get honest. Some space just for you to move the box fan, peel the poster away, and address the hole in the wall. So maybe for some of you, while the band sings and sings this song, maybe you just need to sit and do business with God. And you just need to confess to Him, God, I've been dealing with this, and I know I've been thinking I'm slick and that it's hidden, but You know, and I just need to talk to You about it and bring it to You. And so you just need to spend some time confessing to God about what's been going on. For some of you, you've been doing that, but you've been hiding in that. And maybe you just need to bring it to somebody else today. And if you got somebody like that, praise God. If you got a small group leader, you got a good trusted friend, your spouse is somebody that's safe for you, then you can take some time and you can talk to them about it and you can deal with that. If you don't have anybody like that, we're gonna have some pastors and some staff down front. We'd love to pray for you. No judgment, no condemnation, no more sermons, no more preaching. We would love to just hear you and pray with you. That's it. And if you want that, we'll be down here. And we'd love to do that for you. And so we're going to sing this last song together. And I just want to encourage you to just take a moment and look inside. Do the hard work of heart work. And then bring these things to God and to one another. And let's experience the power and the freedom and the healing that comes with confession. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You that You know us. With You, nothing is hidden. There are no secrets. You know us fully, all of our warts and all of our worries and all of our sins and our secrets and our struggles. You know it all already, and You love us and You forgive us. Thank You for that. Thank You that we don't have to hide when it comes to You. You're not ashamed or embarrassed or angry at us. You want us to come to You. And so I just pray You would give us the courage to address the mess, to take a look at the hole that might be in the wall that we've been trying to hide. I pray that You would give us the courage to bring it to You and bring it into the light. I pray that You would give us the courage, if necessary, to bring it to somebody else today, to let them share in the burden, to get the help that we need and to experience the healing that we really want. We want that. And so would You give us the courage to address those things and to deal with them? By the power of Your Holy Spirit, would You help us to do that today? We love You. We trust You. We thank You for Your goodness and Your grace and Your forgiveness, which is full and for us always. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart.